Right on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Karen has, it's called Committee Motion Number 10, and so I'm making this motion on behalf of the committee. Recommend that the council include development of escalope access areas and allocations in and around current EFH closures in the Habitat Omnibus Amendment, and recommend expediting submission of that action to the extent practicable. So even though the discussion's been about trying to move things along, ironically this would add something, but it adds something of great importance to the scallop industry. If we have an omnibus amendment that we could move it along and get it in place, and we haven't got this piece with it, the area would not be available for an access area to the scallop fishery.
Now that I read this a little more carefully, I'm not sure what it means when it says development of scallop access areas and allocations in and around current EFH closures in the Habitat Omnibus Amendment. I think I know what it is that is wanted out of this, but I'm...
If I could just try to explain a little bit, to develop the access areas is to define the boundaries. Mm-hmm. To make the allocations would be to say, you know, if and when the northern edge, for example, should be available for an access area, these are the boundaries, and in 2013, the scallop industry could have one trip at 18,000 pounds. That would be the allocation piece.
I'm troubled by that, because you're the access is one aspect that I think would be under the what goes on in the habitat, but for the habitat plan or committee to be developing allocations in the scallop fishery, I think that's problematic.
And so there have been discussions about that, however, some of which happened after this, you know, motion about exactly how you get this done. But the thinking was that certainly defining the boundaries and any allocations would have to be done by the scallop PDT, not by the habitat PDT, regardless of what action they would be in. There was some thinking, I think, on the part of the staff that it might be appropriate to only do the boundaries in that, and the allocations in some other action, but I did not feel comfortable as the chair of the scallop committee amending this motion, so I presented as it came up in our discussions.
Yeah, I mean, with we would in order to do this, you'd have to actually have a joint action. I mean, it definitely would be cleaner to have the scallop committee have something that says, you know, if this is open, then under specifications, that this is what the allocation would be in that area.
And that also was discussed, whether or not we could put, you know, preload framework 24 to do this. And I guess I would look to the staff on some of this, but... Okay. I don't think that's really possible, so it's a timing issue, quite honestly. The other alternative, which I think the industry probably would not be very happy with, would be to finish framework 24 and initiate a new framework immediately following. But then again, you run into timing issues of something like that and the omnibus.
Jean, where this would be, in fact... a new allocation, are we running into problems there with an amendment versus a framework?
Yes, I think you are.
So I think that we're going to have to pair this back to the development of the scallop access areas. This is an amendment.
This is an amendment. Yeah. I mean, if you're asking if they separated it out, could they do it by framework? I think the answer is no. It would need to be an amendment. This is amending all of the plans. So theoretically, you know, it is a joint action already. But I mean, I take your point that I'm not sure the Habitat Committee should be determining the allocations for the Scout Committee, but it could be done jointly, and I think it, you know, I don't know if that's going to shorten the time frame for doing this, but.
I'm going to let it go forward, just as it is. I have Chairman Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I regret that I have to leave momentarily, but I did want to speak to this motion. I had offered this at the Scout Committee, and, you know, I would just point out the intent of it was, you know, it had several different purposes, and one is that as the Habitat Omnibus goes forward, if it results in the modifications of EFH areas such that areas like the northern edge are open, then we want to ensure that the access to the scallop resource in there is done in an orderly and controlled way. You wouldn't want that to simply become an open area the day that the Habitat Omnibus is implemented. It makes more sense that we would work to establish that right up front as an access area as appropriate, based on the information that's the scientific information that's there in the Habitat Omnibus. The work for delineating that, though, I think would have to be done in consultation with and really primarily by the Scallop PDT in terms of delineating that boundary. Then the allocations, if the allocation for a trip is included in that, in the amendment, then that way when the amendment is implemented, it's turnkey. So you immediately have orderly access to an access area. You have an initial allocation. That allocation, as I envision it, would be subsequently amended through the next framework. So, you know, you go through the normal specification process in the out years in your framework and update the allocations for that area. That rotational area would be receiving a subsequent allocation in out years through the framework process. But, you know, it seems to me that you can include a specification measure like that in an amendment and front-load it so that when the amendment is implemented, those measures are in place. We discussed yesterday the fact that this can be a vehicle for delivering very important mitigations to the fishery, and all too often, I think, when we talk about mitigations, we're asked to either suspend our public trust responsibilities or set aside a stock assessment. That's not the case here. We have an opportunity to act on the best available science, and significantly mitigate some of the impacts within the scallop fishery. There are also important implications for the groundfish fishery. And the scale of those impacts and the scale of the opportunity to mitigate those is unprecedented. So I think that ought to be reflected in the urgency and really the schedule that's assigned to moving forward with this. And I would not suggest that it be moved forward in any way that's incomplete or not yet ready for implementation, but rather that it be moved forward with all the resources necessary to make it happen in a timely way, because again, the consequences of it are so important. Structurally, I would think you could either put it in the amendment or put it in a trailing action, which would be a framework. If it's done in a framework as a trailing action, you run the risk that the omnibus would be implemented and then the framework wouldn't come online in a timely way, and you could have a disorderly situation with respect to the access to that resource. So again, I think just in the interest of making sure that when this does open, it opens in a way that makes sense, that's thought out, that's all orderly, is the best way to do it.
Thank you. Dave Gatel.
Yeah, now you know why man got to the moon first. He's going to be back to the moon done. The problem here, number one, is the Habitat Omnibus Amendment was never scoped for allocations, so you're going to have to go back out to scoping. That's first and foremost right there, if you're going to keep the allocation in there. I think you can do the scallop access areas through Habitat, but the allocation, at least my understanding of an amendment, is there would have to be scoped, so that slows things down right off the bat.
David Pierce.
Yeah, when I first saw this motion, I thought it was an effort to prepare for the eventual opening of habitat closed areas, current habitat closed areas, as depicted in map 15 on page 55 of the document that we've just referenced, in preparation for access, because right now, according to the assessment that we have seen, and some very informative figures that have been provided by the Scallop Plan Development Team, there is a tremendous amount of scallops available in those areas that are now closed because of habitat protection. So that was my thinking, that this is a way to begin to make that transition, to get ready to harvest those particular scallops, but in a reasonable and in a responsive way, by having it be an access area and not just an area that opens up and everyone goes in and catches their scallops and wipes them out really quickly. That doesn't make any sense. So that was my thinking, that it was going to be that the scallop committee was going to develop this access area that is in the opened area for habitat protection, that it would not be done through the omnibus. I don't understand how we would do this through the omnibus amendment. The omnibus amendment will open up potentially that area in the northwest portion of closed area 2. Potentially, it will close down or restrict access in major ways on Georgia Shoal East, Georgia Shoal Large, and Georgia Shoal West. Again, that's on page 55, map 15. So I guess I'm just looking for clarification. Because now I don't know what this motion really would lead us to do. I don't see the sense of or the need for us to take the Habitat Omnibus Amendment and to create a scallop access area within that amendment. Do you follow me, Mr. Chairman? It's the task of the Scallop Committee to develop the access area, which would be the current closed area in Area 2, prepare for that. So I guess I can't vote for the motion because I don't believe it accomplishes what should be done for a quick preparation to gain access for the scallop fishery in that area on Georges that is currently closed for habitat, and it need not be closed for habitat according to the SASE model.
Gene, can I ask you your opinion as to whether, in fact, scoping would be needed in this situation?
I haven't reviewed the originals. I mean, the scoping documents. I'd want to look at them and see how it's described in there. So I can't give you an answer off the top of my head without. I mean, I can look into it, and it has to do with whether it's required by NEPA, not because it's under the Madison Act that scoping is required. And if this is an issue that was understood to be part of this, then you probably wouldn't need scoping. If it's a totally new concept that wasn't included in the scoping document, hasn't been discussed since, then there may be a problem, assuming, you know, because of NEPA concerns under for EISs.
I'm wondering, Mary Beth.
So perhaps one approach, Mr. Chairman, would be for us to consider this amendment, realizing that the allocation part might not be doable in the amendment, and get the advice that we need on some of that back to the SCALP committee that meets on November, I think, 8th. Advise the committee that either that yes, this motion is fine the way it went, or defining the boundaries can go in the amendment and the allocation can't.
Well, or you could put in, you know, language saying pending resolution of scoping problems or something of that sort. Date problem.
How much is this going to add to the time required to finish this 8-year-old amendment?
Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If I were a betting man, I'd say that this would not be the way I'd want to go. I think it would extend the time frame for scallopers to have the access that they expect to have. Seems to me that what I would do is, in your framework 24, say that closed area 2, the whole area, is closed until it's opened by scallop framework 25, and do the work yourself as opposed to doing it under the habitat amendment. The council staff recommended you do habitat alone and just close areas for habitat alone, and then have the ground fish and everything else follow suit, and then you use the habitat science. We would be done by now, but we're waiting on other things now. So it just doesn't work to do two things under one. It just doesn't.
I'm going to go to the audience for a comment. I'll start with Greg and then Drew and Ron.
And Gib after him.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Greg Cunningham with the Conservation Law Foundation. I am frankly a little surprised to see this motion in light of what I've understood to be scallop industry desires for years to speed up the habitat amendment. This strikes me as another yoke on the shoulders of that amendment. Procedural complications are attached to it. I think there are legal complications associated with it. I'm quite certain that the scoping documents make no reference to allocations. And if that is the case, I think there is a real NEPA concern here. With Paul Howard's statement to the effect that this ought to go through the scallop committee, it ought to be addressed where it is appropriate for the habitat committee to be either working jointly with the scallop committee or on its own, God forbid, making decisions related to scallop densities and or allocations, which I assume wouldn't be the case, but is setting us up for more delay in an amendment that I was very pleased to hear Administrator Bullard suggest needs to be expedited. I heard, to my dismay, earlier in the day, Mr. Howard, you suggested that the closed area technical team is not going to get to the omnibus habitat amendment work as a result of this sector's ops plan approach to accessing the closed areas. We are pushing this. We are simultaneously saying we want to get this thing done, and we're taking actions that put it off constantly. Those have been my observations in the 4 years I've been working on this, and this is another example of it. The Omnibus Habitat Amendment represents a certain degree of certainty for everyone, the industry included, as to where people can fish and what areas we ought to protect. We've advocated for some time it ought to be the mechanism that decides what areas are open and what areas are closed. This sector's ops approach is going to create a lot of uncertainty. If it's done appropriately, there's going to be a lot of uncertainty as to whether those get approved or not. And the Omnibus Habitat Amendment could relieve that uncertainty. All resources available should be put toward that amendment. And this approach will not contribute to any additional progress on it. We would urge you to please vote against it.
Drew.
Drew Minkiewicz, Fishery Survival Fund. We want this habitat amendment to pass as soon as possible, but the habitat amendment passing that doesn't then have an access area on the with an allocation is useless to the scallop fishery as far as actually then doing something good with that habitat, that opening. For the scallopers to be able to get this resource, be able to fish up to their ACT to a level of 0.28 rather than the level of 0.22 that we're looking at, the only way that can happen is open the habitat area, then have fishing effort allocated within an access area to allow that to happen. So just putting the habitat amendment forward without this step in lockstep with it does nothing to fix the problem, does nothing to alleviate $160 million lost in revenue. Scallop AP originally recommended and passed a motion to put into Framework 48 the access areas and the allocations with it in case the habitat area opened up. Staff and others, from the day that that happened on Monday, in the intervening time, people said, no, put it into the amendment. So the Scallop Committee did instead, said, and passed this motion. So I don't care how you all do it, but it's got to get done. If this doesn't work, can we please stop bickering about this, this, and that? Let's get to the work of actually getting solutions on the table and put a motion forward that we can agree on that gets this done, so that when this habitat amendment passes, and it's going to pass quickly because we're going to do it, then we can actually take advantage of that and have access areas and allocations in place. But if you use this amendment down because you don't think it works and you don't do anything, then you haven't done anything to alleviate the $160 million loss to the economy.
Ron.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ron Smallwood's Fishery Survival Fund. Now, 8 years ago, I was against the omnibus amendment. I said it should be done in the individual fisheries management plans. I was against phase one and phase two. I said, it's just like bycatch. You want to mitigate habitat impact, do it fishery by fishery. I was overruled. We went with the omnibus amendment. Now you're saying that we can't do the fishery by fishery changes within this omnibus amendment. I'm pretty sure scoping covered this. When we look at the areas on the northern edge in the omnibus amendment, we're going to ask what actions are taken to protect that. And you're not going to have an answer for scallops because you don't have a measure. We think the most important thing is define a scallop access area out there, define that boundary, whether it's going to be at 68 or 6745 or 6730, and work's going to be done by the Scallop PDT. It cannot be done by the Habitat PDT. We're supposed to be working together. These aren't separate entities. They work in the same damn office. We need the Scallop PDT to do this. In the meetings last week, we'll never get the Framework 24 in place in time if we do it. However, come January and February, the pressure is off of them a little bit. They'll be available to do this, and we put it into the omnibus amendment. The way we're going to control habitat impact in the scallop fishery is high catch per unit effort, frequency, and intensity. I think you need that information in the omnibus amendment. You need to know what action the scallop fishery is going to take to minimize and mitigate its quote-unquote, potential adverse impacts. So you might as well do the analysis. That analysis is going to be done by the same group of people, the Scallop PDT. Have them do it in January and February and put it in the amendment. If you think that they could do it in January, you can't. It's too late for that framework. We already know we need an annual framework with specifications. We can't. So we can't drag that down, and it won't give us any relief for 2013. I just cannot imagine that there is a real reason why this cannot be done in an omnibus amendment, which was designed to incorporate all the measures from the various fisheries management plans. I just don't understand this conversation whatsoever. We need access in that area to mitigate habitat impacts, to mitigate the need for yellowtail, to maximize try to get near our optimum yield for scallops. I'm just amazed by this conversation.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gib Brogan with Oceana. I understand the desire of the scallop industry to access this area. They've been salivating over it for almost a decade now and trying through four different processes to get that access. But this is not the way to do it. The habitat process needs to work and do its considerations. have clear considerations of habitat issues, and then we can move on to scallop access. Conflating these two issues is a mistake. I think that it adding this in right now assumes that the habitat area at the northern edge, the tip of closed area 2, is going to be reopened. I think that's a mistake. That is very clearly in the LISA analysis as a vulnerable area, and making that assumption is a mistake and shouldn't be a foregone conclusion. Yesterday afternoon, you heard Peter Hughes from the scallop industry tell you that it's a weed patch. It's nothing but seaweed, and we've got to mow the lawn so we can get to those scallops. It's not a weed patch. That's recovery. That's vertical life. That's what's out there. That's why it's habitat, is so that juvenile cod can use that as a nursery habitat. Not coincidentally, Georgia's Bank cod right now has not had a good recruitment year in 20 years. 20 years since we've had an average recruitment year, and apparently we had one very recently. But we've got to look past scallops here. Making this assumption that that area is not important or is Peter Hughes' weed patch out there is a mistake for the overall work of this council. The habitat process needs to do its thing, and then we can talk about potentially accessing this area. As far as concern, Chairman Robbins had his concern about what happens if the area gets opened up through the habitat process, that we don't want it to be a free-for-all. There are plenty of ways for this council to put language in the omnibus, things that area will remain closed until such a time, until the scallop FMP grants access. But those kind of safeguards can be built in much more easily, much more quickly than this right here, roping in the scallop committee. That's a big mistake. Anybody that's been through the scallop specification process at the PDT level and all the way up, looking at the timing issues, we haven't had a scallop spec package delivered on time in a number of years now. Any roping that into this omnibus, I'm looking at months. I agree with Paul Howard that this is going to confuse it significantly. So we need to move this one quickly. Just one other question, and I think this came more from Rick Robbins and the safeguard about reopening areas, and I'm wondering whether more generally, as the omnibus looks at potentially opening areas that are closed for habitat purposes right now, should the omnibus include a policy on reopening areas so that we don't flip the switch and have it one day be closed as the habitat area and one day be opened, get the best bang for the buck as we reopen those areas, whether it's controlled this. I know that there's consideration for dedicated habitat research areas, but there should be something else for more general moving things back into open area fisheries. So that's just something that I think should be considered, some kind of a policy there about reopening those areas. So that is my two cents on this one. I hope you vote it down and we can move on and get this omnibus done. I've been involved with it since the get-go of this, and it's time to get it moving. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the council, I'm Jeff Kalin with Lunds Fisheries. We're members of the Fisheries Survival Fund and have scallop permits full-time and part-time and some groundfish permits and a lot of other things. And, you know, if in fact, as a fellow from the Conservation Law Foundation said, this is about areas that should be open and which one should be closed, this motion is absolutely right in terms of determining through the eyes of the Habitat Committee which areas could be open for future access areas so that we could harvest the scallops out there. I don't understand why this is such a difficult approach. Paul suggested that we do back-to-back frameworks, and I'm a little confused because I heard earlier that we couldn't do new allocations, which I assume we can't allocate to in a new access area unless there's amendment. But if we're going to do back-to-back frameworks, we reallocate in frameworks all the time, so we need the help of the Habitat to identify the areas where we can and take these scallops, and a subsequent framework could provide the allocations to us. And you know, we've got a groundfish closed area technical team here that apparently we're waiting for information from them. Their focus is on gaining access for the for the groundfish industry, why don't we have a scallop access area technical team with some kind of cross-fertilization between the scallop PDT and the Habitat Committee. But we need the Habitat Amendment to identify the areas that it would be appropriate for us to go in and scallop fish. And I don't, you know, I spent last week with scallops at the AP. This came up. Tuesday was the committee. This was discussed. And we went to groundfish on Wednesday, and then we found out we couldn't do it that way. Then I had the day off. I went to the Herring Committee meeting. And then now we're here again all week. And what is it going to take to make this happen? I don't think it's not designed to slow down the habitat amendment at all. We need the expertise of the Habitat PDT to identify the area, and then we can get the allocation out of another framework or something, or framework 23, if it can be done quickly enough. So we're frustrated by where we are with this conversation today, and I think this motion should be approved. It can be perfected. We can figure out how we're going to get there, but we need to start getting there. There's a lot of money tied up, and we appreciate the motion. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience? Ron?
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Peter asked me to clarify his comments. He wasn't talking when he said weeds. He wasn't referring to vertical epifauna or anything. He was referring to the scallops. And what happened, if you remember, in closed area one, there was that technical problem between a framework and amendment. So we had that area that remained closed that was supposed to be open to scalloping as soon as we could get an amendment in place. And it took like 3 or 4 years. And what happened is a lot of those scallops in that area were gray meats, were not marketable. So we had a very, for every scallop harvested, we were killing another scallop. And those are called weeds. And at the northern edge, we've just had a survey out there, a VIMS effort, a HABCAM effort. There's 30 million pounds of scallops out there, but a lot of them are not marketable. They're weeds. And the loss is going to be to the country. I figure it's $1 billion every 5 years that area has been closed. And while those areas have been closed, we haven't had a successful cod year class. So there's a lot to be, all that's going to be in the conversations, but that's what he meant by weeds, the scallops that are there, that are dying, and that the market is lost.
Back to the council. David Pierce.
Yeah, I assume if this motion passes, then there'll be a charge to the scallop committee to work with the plant development team and the industry to develop access areas that would be considered in any area that might eventually be opened up as a consequence of the Habitat Omnibus Amendment. If it is determined in the interim that the Habitat Omnibus Amendment is inappropriate to actually implement those access areas, then perhaps we could decide at that time to just have another scallop framework developed. And that would then do the job and would be timed appropriately so that it would be ready to go when the Habitat Omnibus Amendment is eventually implemented. So that's the way I see this unfolding, and if it doesn't, if that's how it unfolds, then I would vote for this motion.
Anyone else? Doug Grout and Dave Gaisel.
We heard earlier today when we were discussing groundfish that the measure that we put in to have considered for the groundfish closed area modifications through sector plans was going to delay analysis needed for the Habitat Amendment. I heard Tom indicate that, I believe. My question is, if we include this in, is this where we have to suddenly be analyzing scallop access areas in this plan? Is that going to delay the Habitat Amendment again? I just would like some input from staff on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you look at the timelines that are in your binder, we're now talking about June implementation without this motion. Now, I know that's unacceptable, but in order for us to do NEPA correctly and analyze groundfish, scallops, habitat, it's going to take, we've got to develop a DEIS, submit it. It's usually reviewed in a month or so, and then you've got 7 months of notes. Yeah, then you've got hearings and everything, and 7 months of review before it's implemented. So we're talking early 2014. So if the expectation is that there'll be scallop access during 2013, I don't know how that can happen. I don't like being the bearer of bad news, but it's in the document. 2013 is out. We've got huge NEPA requirements that we have to meet.
Thank you for that, because it does help me in how I'm going to vote on this. And I also think we need to think carefully about scallop access areas the same way we need to think carefully about removing groundfish closed areas, particularly in closed area 2, because of some of the issues that I raised earlier concerning another species. This is an ecosystem interaction. We're not just talking about species by this council. We have large amounts of buried females out in that area, and it needs to be addressed in a very careful manner. I think there is a mechanism to have the scallop industry have access to this. I think they're working on it, but until those safeguards are in place to try and protect the lobster resource out there while allowing access to the scallop population, I think we have to go through this very carefully. So I'm not going to support this motion. Dave Gaethel.
Yeah, I think there's two issues embedded in this motion, and that's why we're in such a mess. Development of scallop access areas is something I think the Habitat Committee can do. The allocation, I don't think the Habitat Committee can do it. The Habitat Committee did not scope for that. I think that's pretty much a fact. So the way out of this to me is to split this up somehow and have the scallop committee do an allocation amendment. Everybody seems to agree allocations have to be done in an amendment, and that's why they're trying to pack it in here, because this is an amendment. You know, they can get to work on scoping that and doing it in January and February and have it set up in such a way that it comes in concurrently with completion of the habitat amendment. But I also agree with Paul that either any one of these processes is not going to get you in there in 2013. I mean, I think people have to be realistic here. That you know, the 60 days for this, 90 days for that, the reviews, the everything else. Once this habitat amendment is voted, it's got to go to public hearing. There's no way. So, you know, as I said earlier today, it's people better find other methods of doing business here. So, somebody makes a motion to split this up somehow, I might vote for it. But if it stays as a combined package, I'm going to vote against it.
Peter Kendall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was really confused, and then Doug's question got to my point, and Paul clarified it. With Dave bringing that up, I saw it as two separate things, too. If you were to take out the allocations, this question's to Paul, would that still slow it down in time so it couldn't be analyzed for 2013?
No.
It would still be the same time.
But it's still 2014.
Yeah, so separating it out still isn't going to help it.
Tom Dempsey.
Just a point of clarification. I think we're sort of getting confused on two interpretations or two uses of the term allocation. Basically, this is just setting the access areas and then defining the trip limit for those access areas. Nobody's permit changes, whereas an actual allocation of a privilege has to go through an amendment. We do allocations to these access areas and frameworks all the time. In fact, one of the standing things that we consider in every framework is whether the existing access areas are appropriate, whether new ones should be formed, and if so, where they should be, and what the allocation slash trip limit should be in there. So we do this in a framework all the time. I'm concerned about the more about the timeline. I think Paul's comment suggesting that, you know, where we're going to end up on this, we're good ones and informative. I just want to make that distinction because there are sort of two uses of the term allocation. We can definitely allocate to an access area and a framework.
Further discussion? I'm going to call the question. All those in favor of the motion, so indicate. Eight in favor. Opposed. Hold them back up again, please. One, two, three. Okay. Okay. We're. Can we go back to those in favor, please? I'm sorry. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Okay, and opposed. One, two, three, four, six, seven, eight, nine. Yeah, you were correct. Okay, eight in favor, nine opposed. That's 17 votes with no abstentions. The motion fails. Very bad.
So, you know, I do understand a lot of the concerns that people had about this, and I'd also like to go back to what Drew's comment was. We all know what the issue is. We just need to figure out how to get it done. And so my take on this is that, you know, people weren't comfortable with this approach, and we still need to get it done. So there are other ways to view it, and under our priority discussion, we could talk some more about the ways to get it done. But I think the other piece is that we still need to move this amendment as quickly as we can, and perhaps in light of the scallop needs and the fact that there is so much economic loss, we should encourage the scallop PDT to be working with the Habitat PDT a little bit on some of the boundaries, particularly in closed area two. So if people are comfortable with that, I think we could move on from this topic. And I have another motion to offer relative to the omnibus amendment. And Karen has it. She can put it on the screen, and I will read it. So I would move the omnibus habitat amendment on a faster timeline. And the council will, one, limit the dedicated habitat research area alternatives in the omnibus amendment to one area in the current Western Gulf of Maine and one area in closed area one. Two, schedule a one-day council meeting following the Habitat Advisors PDT meeting to develop and finalize area management alternatives. And three, move the document out to public hearings as soon as possible. We have, if I get a second, I'll provide some rationale.
Seconded by Terry Stockwell.
So the development of this amendment has been going on for a very long time, and while I haven't been on the council the entire time, I was a habitat advisor in phase one, so I'm pretty clear on where we've been and where we're going. And we just need to move this. We can't add more stuff. We just need to deal with what's in the document, figure out how we're going to manage the areas, and finish the analysis and take it out to public hearing. The current timeline would have us submitting this document in about a year and a half. We would be taking final action on it in November of 2013 or somewhere thereabouts. We just can't keep doing this. I think that John Bullitt made comments earlier about, you know, it's an ongoing process. It's not like we're never going to do habitat again. You know, things that aren't done, put them on the shelf for the next action. Finish this action, start another action right away, whichever. But I think people are very frustrated with our progress on this, and we just need to move it along.
Is the intent of this motion to say that with the groundfish closed areas. If they make it in time, they make it in time. If not, they're in a separate action. I don't see them referred to.
Well, that's a good question. I looked at the next steps, which was the last slide on Michelle's presentation, and relative to the groundfish closed areas and the action we took on Framework 48, I wasn't clear what remains to be considered. Why do we need to further consider mortality closures in the habitat amendment? Is there any reason we do?
Tom.
Well, yes, there's a lot of reasons to consider area management in this action. And you'll notice I was careful to avoid using the term mortality closures. Because there are a lot of reasons that the Groundfish Committee has been advised on, is considered, and will get a choice to work through for using area spawning closures, for example. There may be issues with respect to gear closures. There may be protected species issues. We provided the committee in January a table of about 15 or 16 things. The closed area technical team has been working to better refine those, and we're hoping to bring to the committee, maybe at the next committee meeting, some ideas to focus what sorts of uses of areas that the committee wants to pursue. So, there's a lot of reasons to consider this besides just the use of mortality closures.
Very bad.
So if I could follow up, the way that Tom just described that, those strategies would be the area management alternatives. And so what I suggest is that following this joint PDT-AP meeting, that we schedule a council meeting, one-day council meeting, and flesh out exactly what those alternatives are. And now Tom raises this issue, and I think this is one of timing. So this motion is not specific to when this full council meeting would take place. I'm assuming if we have this list of area management alternatives, we need to press along as quickly as we can, and I'd like to see this meeting before the end of the year. So I think this motion would not preclude what Tom describes.
Tom?
I mean, maybe we should ask Andy, but my impression that from conversations we've had earlier that I would not expect that work to be ready in time for a meeting by the end of the year, particularly with the work on Framework 48 going on. I mean, I just, first off, I don't know that the committee has time to devote to it, let alone the closed area technical team.
Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. From the groundfish perspective, the as soon as possible addresses that issue for me. But I've listened long and hard all week long on the wide range of comments underscoring the need to expedite the process and get this omnibus out the door. At the last Habitat Committee meeting, the committee really made huge forward progress and proposed proposed some adverse effects minimization alternatives. And it's solely based on the SASE model. The process has kept us churning for however many years. But frankly, I was very surprised that motion was not on today's agenda. It was a huge deal to the committee. It's a huge deal to the public. It's going to take a significant amount of discussion to move it ahead. I support this motion. I think it's going to help force us to focus the to fully address all the issues that remain unfinished in the amendment, to get the industry the relief and to provide mitigation for both the groundfish and scallop effort. And without focusing on this and putting kind of all hands on deck, like, you know, John, when you begin your position, you said we have an emergency situation. This is part of the emergency. So that's why I support the motion on the board.
Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of things. First of all, as far as that last motion not being put in front of the council today, it was merely because the committee did not table the ground cable length, and that has to go before the AP. They voted to put it before the AP. That's the only reason that wasn't on today, because we've got the AP meeting the week after next in order to get their input on it. But I agree, we need to get that done. As far as this is concerned, I like the idea here. I'm not sure. We need a break. I need to talk to Michelle and figure out a couple of things about this. Can we take a short break?
We'll take a 10-minute break and then come back and continue on, because we have still a long way to go.